So, hello, and welcome to News Over Brews, first of hopefully many, but probably only one, of our... what are we calling this segment?
Roundtable.
Roundtable with News Over Brews, sure. In spite of a better name. Yeah, we'll go with that. Good. Roundtable with News Over Brews. So, I went on a trip to Boston, and I brought back a bunch of beer. So, we're going to drink it all as a big old group. One big happy beer drinking family. But first, let's do a few introductions. I'm Lucas, and I am one of the News Over Brews co-hosts. Your name.
Your God-given.
You're Dave, and you like to drink beer.
David Eicher, and I like to drink beer.
And I'm Mike Donnelly. I brew beer, and I drink beer.
Al Manarino, also a host on News Over Brews, and I'm very late to this party. Hangover.
I'm Ryan, also part of the Knob Crew. Thanks for giving me my microphone.
And I'm Andrew Martins. I drink beer, and that's pretty much all.
So we've assembled a motley crew of beer drinkers, people that make beer, people that have heard of beer, people that are here by accident because they heard there might be some kind of alcohol.
I just heard there was free beer. Like I just show up.
But we're going to put them to work. Not for us. We get no pleasure out of this. This is all for you folks at home. So first off, we're going to start with Mayflower Brewing in Plymouth, Massachusetts. It's brewed and bottled there. I brought home half a gallon of their porter. So let's all take a nice synchronized sip and smell. I tried this at the brewery before I bought it, and I really liked it because it was super roasty, and porters are slowly becoming my favorite. What does everybody else think?
Hi, well, definitely. My name is Camille, and I was kind of overlooked in the introductions, but I did want to at least say hello. And I found this beer to be lovely. More roasty than a typical stout, not as thin as a Guinness. And I'm just very happy to be here with all of you. Thank you.
Why didn't you introduce her, Luke?
Sorry. Well, in my defense, I thought that Camille was going to be coming in for the cannoli beer, which we'll be having later in the episode, which is brewed by Shabin. But we'll get to that in a couple of minutes. Thank you, Camille.
No,
my apologies.
Well, I won't make it for the cannoli, so.
Well, let's start off with Al and Ryan, since you guys are the knob crew. What'd you guys think of the porter? Al's taking another sip just to make sure he knows what he's talking about.
I gotta make sure it's beer. Oh, no, this is a really good porter. We just came back from a visit at Pinelands Brewery, and they also had a really, really, really great porter. This one is not as smooth, but it's really roasty. And, you know, we've talked in the past that I love the roasty, almost like chocolate kind of beers. And, you know, it's definitely sessionable, though.
Ryan's pouring himself another one because he drank all of it.
Sorry. Like before we even started.
Before we even started. Like, this is his first time at the rodeo.
Need the facts before I say something. Well, I enjoyed it. It's bold. It's not too thick. It's very sessionable. It's actually nice for the summer. I would drink this in the summer as well. It's just a nice beverage to have. The aroma kind of just takes you in. You just kind of want to smell it the whole time instead of just drink it personally. Mm-hmm. But
all right, well, let's open up the floor to everybody else. What do you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, when I take a sip of this, I don't know if I'm alone in thinking that, you know, it is, like, we've been throwing around the word roasty, but, like, I get kind of like a maple syrupy taste out
maybe,
of it.
Maybe caramel.
Caramelly.
Like licorice, maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think, you know, it takes me, right, like you said, summer. I get, like, a fall feel out of this, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess that's just my own opinion on this, but I would definitely drink a whole lot more of this, Lucas. Not a hint or anything.
Well, you can, because it's only 5.5% alcohol.
I was going to say it's nice to have, especially in the summertime, or just in general, to have such a flavorful beer and have it be such a low alcohol, because you could have more of it.
And you do get a lot of porters that kind of fall flat in, say, the roasty area, and this definitely does not. It's got a nice assertive punch to it, and mm-hmm. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things that drew me towards it was because, I mean, I'm a huge coffee fiend. That's one thing college did to me. But I always love a beer that is not afraid to, like, be a dark coffee as Camille comes in for another round. That is not afraid to, like, really hit that dark coffee note and you know, like Mike said, is really be, like, a punchy beer.
Yeah.
And really
yeah.
kind of take control.
Goes down very easy.
Yeah, as Camille says off in the distance, because there's not enough room around our small round table.
Or
it's actually,
enough, or enough microphone.
It's actually
well,
a square
it's
table.
It's actually a square table, which is interesting enough.
really high square table.
Listen, man, I don't know what you want me to do. Yeah, as we all just kind of poured a second round. Yeah, it's weird. I'm not getting like a huge aroma off of it, but I am getting a really big taste.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like, porters are just my favorite.
But something has to be said about the color of the beer. It's like really, really dark, rich color. And you'd expect, you know, since it is such a like a low ABV, like it's not... But like when I see a dark, dark beer like this, I kind of tend to think that it's going to be a little more higher in the alcohol content. But it's not. It's a nice, smooth, you know, beer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we were talking about before this that there's nothing worse than a beer that's like crazy alcohol or like crazy with one flavor, like, you know, something you can't drink more than one of. This is something that I wish I had brought back more of because I would drink it. And not to say that I regret sharing it with all of you, but I regret sharing it with all of you. So does anybody have any final thoughts on Mayflower?
I was going to say something has to go into why you're actually sharing it with all of us. Maybe someone brought a little too much beer home.
No such thing.
No such thing. There's no such thing as too much beer.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'd have to say that, like, this is definitely up there in terms of porters for me. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and give it, like, a 9, which is, like, one of the higher, you know, it's almost, like, one of the highest ones I think I've ever given so far. I wish I had more access to
all the
to
beers
it.
That we've ever had, I don't think you've given something.
No, never a 9, I don't think. But, yeah, I wish I was closer to Mayflower. Mm-hmm. I wish it wasn't a 6.5-hour drive without traffic.
Can they ship any?
It's just
us?
A number.
Well, I guess Mayflower, when you listen to this, if you could ship us some of this beer on an old wooden ship, that would be phenomenal.
That would be ideal.
So I guess the consensus is really good. Thumbs up all around.
Very good.
So Mayflower Porter, if you're in Plymouth, Massachusetts, go check them out if you haven't already. And then let us know when you buy some, because we'll invite you down to a super exclusive party that's only going to be you and us. And as long as you bring the porter.
You can be as late as you want.
You can be as late as you want.
Table, yeah. That's like something that comes naturally. I can't just like say it again.
No,
like
you started
it.
By saying a lot of people ask the difference
between
a porter.
We started the conversation by saying, what is the difference between a porter and a stout?
Mm-hmm.
And that it's a pretty blurry line and no one really can define which is which. All we kind of know is that the porter came first. The porter is an older style. Porter predates stout. And porter was a style that was kind of extinct as the stout gained popularity. But it's made a big comeback, at least in America, and I would assume in Europe.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm glad it has, because it has all the great qualities of a stout while being much lighter to drink. If you start getting into like milk stout territory and all that stuff, like you drink one and you're full, you know. And with a porter, it's much much easier to drink.
Dave was saying that the kind of theory behind porter was you could have a porter with lunch and get back to work, whatever it was that you were doing, whether it's mining or some kind of hard work.
Mm-hmm.
Porter was okay. Porter actually like fortified you a bit to get back to work.
What was the old Guinness saying? Drink Guinness for strength or something like that.
Yeah.
Like that's how they originally kind of marketed that.
Because so much of their food was so bad for you that
this was one of the better things.
The beer was one of the better things you could put in your body, right?
Because it would. They said that beer was better to drink than the water.
Right, because the water had bacteria in it, but because the beer had alcohol, it sterilized everything.
Right.
So you're better off drinking beer. Which is a value that I'm sad that we've lost, that we've left behind. That beer is better for you than water.
You've turned into another episode of History Brews.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess we'll just keep recording it and I'll edit it down later. We'll just let the whole thing record.
Yeah, that's always been a great method with you. Just chopping it up.
Listen,
I would just say, as someone who's done podcasts, like, do it separate. It's way easier.
Way easier.
Way easier.
Because then you don't have to, like, figure out where.
Yeah,
like,
it's like, oh, okay, you just.
Well, I think what I'll do is I'll do everything, and then once we finish this beer, then I'll stop.
Right.
Because, by the way, it's like Mad Max with a beer. Like, if you want it, get it before it's gone, kind of a thing.
Well, because it'll go bad in a day anyway. It's a growler.
Yeah, no, that's why. Well, that's another reason why I had you guys over, is because this was.
That was what I was trying to get at.
Oh.
I asked you.
We had Sam Adams Dark and Mild, like a mild style, like British ale, brown ale, kind of a hybrid. Very good.
You're gonna stop it, or
I will. Yeah, after we're done with it.
Oh, the spiel.
Yeah.
What are the other ones that you have, by the way?
I have another porter, an oatmeal porter.
That one's really good. I've had it.
Yeah.
In Boston.
An IPA, which I think we'll do. I think after the cannoli beer, because I fear that the IPA will wipe us out for the cannoli beer. So we'll do cannoli beer third, and then we'll do the IPA last. So next up, we have a beer from Trillium Brewing. It's called Pot and Kettle Oatmeal Porter. Comes in at 7.5% alcohol by volume. So we figured we'd line our two porters up back to back and kind of give you, you know, what this beer tastes like, and then also what it is compared to the other one. The other one, you know, we decided was, you know, light, sessionable, it was crisp, and it was roasty. So since we started off with the News Over Brews crew last time, let's start off with the non-nobbers on this occasion.
We're not making that a thing.
It's too late now. So let's go with Mike. What do you think about this one?
I actually kind of like this one a little bit better than the first one. It's got a bigger mouthfeel, probably thanks to the oats, and I'm definitely getting some hop bitterness on the tongue. Mm-hmm. Not really feeling the alcohol strength from it, or tasting the alcohol strength from it, but it's a solid beer.
Yeah. Upon smelling it, the last beer didn't really give a whole lot of smell. It did, but this one gives a more pronounced chocolate smell, like a Baker's chocolate or something, like a darker chocolate, and then it gives a nice roastiness too, which is, if you like lingering roastiness, then this is a solid beer.
Yeah, like I'd say the last beer that we had, the roastiness, you know, I don't know if that's even a word or anything, but like the roastiness of it was, you know, kind of immediate. Like it stayed and went away. Like it came and went away. Whereas this, like you're saying, it lingers. But I actually kind of like the alcohol-y taste of it. Like
I think it adds another element. It doesn't have to. Alcohol doesn't have to like. It doesn't have to be a bad factor in a beer. It can add to the other flavors of the beer, too.
Yeah. I mean, I really like it. You know, it's I tried it at Trillium, which is what caused me to buy it, obviously. But, yeah, no, it's a different flavor profile, definitely. Like everyone's been saying, it's a little bit... Camille, you said something... Yeah, I know you're off in like kind of the peanut gallery, unfortunately, because our table is only so large, but...
Okay.
This is your cue now to kind of walk up to the front and give your impressions.
When I first took a sip, I thought, oh, I like this better than the second one, but it almost lingers too long for me, and I kind of now think I like the first one. This one is very full-bodied,
mm-hmm.
which is nice. I mean, I like how the full-bodiedness feels on my tongue, but the aroma and the taste is almost too full-bodied for me.
Okay.
I tend to be more of a nut brown amber, so I these have to be more in alignment with that for me to really enjoy, you know, stouts and porters. But I mean, it's good. But I taste the oat that Mike was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I could probably have two glasses of the other one. I don't know if I could have two glasses of this just because of the flavor. It's a little too pronounced.
Yeah, I know. And what you said, I think when you first had it, was that it was rounder. It was like more, way more
rounder.
Full,
mm-hmm.
Which is really good, at least from my perspective. I really like it, that it's like kind of balanced. Like you get a little more hop bitterness, like we were kind of saying, but it also is balanced.
This would be a good beer
to
eat, to drink with food.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think it's just, it would be nice paired with a hearty sandwich or a hamburger or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So, Al, Ryan?
I like the first one better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think mainly what Camille said was she can have a couple of them. Like, way more sessionable. And, I don't know. The aftertaste is not, I'm not crazy about it.
Okay.
Is it a good beer? Yes. Would I eat it with, you know, one of the three cheeseburgers I had today? Probably.
Only three?
I had two.
It was a slow day. What about Brew Crew? Can we do that instead of Knobbers? That sounds terrible.
Sure.
Back on that.
Ryan, what about Trillium's Porter?
I actually agree with Idiot over here. I prefer the first one better. It stays on the tongue too long. It just kind of gives me that gross aftertaste, and it is full body. Like, I liked it at first. It was different than obviously the first porter. I feel like the first porter was a little more balanced than this one.
Okay,
my perspective. It's a nice drink. Personally, though, it's a little too long lasting on the tongue, and it's not doing it for me.
So for you guys, it's almost a little too heavy for a porter.
It's almost outside the style. If you want to be judgmental on style,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A porter with oatmeal is sort of going outside that porter box.
It's going almost towards a stout.
Or yeah. Like an imperial.
Yeah, you're crossing lines, and that's fine. That should be done.
And I think it's also a personal thing, too. Like, it depends on if you like more sessionable beers or if you like heavier beers. So it's all, I think it all is...
What's more in your comfort zone, more
mm-hmm.
or less. Right?
Like, personally, you know, I still have the a beer that I know every time I try to describe it to these guys, it's like an Russian Imperial Oat Yeti bourbon vanilla. The more things you have in front of the word stout is better for me.
Bourbon,
bourbon, whiskey, vodka, tequila stout.
I
really like this because it's... Because it's crossing the line. It's like it's like moving into stout territory for a porter, which is good for me. But it is different. You know, I think that one of the first things that came to mind is when they were giving their opinion and we were doing ours, like there's a line from James Bond, from You Only Live Twice, I think. Not better, not worse, just different. You know, it's just different. It's a different style, a different take on a porter. And so our individual tastes will now start to come into play once you start to push those boundaries a little bit more.
The beer guy just did a pop culture reference. Let's just throw that in. That never happens.
I tend to stick to just beer. I'm still learning Facebook. I'm in charge of the Instagram. I don't know what it is.
You already broke your camera, so you've been kicked off. Done.
I just drink the beer and talk about it. All right, so since we have more of like a diverse opinion on this, I kind of want to go around and give like a kind of a thumbs up, thumbs down rating on this. So, I mean, for me, I really like it because I can taste a little more alcohol heat. It's not as sessionable, but that's okay. I'm okay with having just one and being done with a beer because it's got such strong flavors. I really like it, so I'm going to go ahead and give it like an 8.5 on that one.
Yeah, I like this one more. I tend to gravitate more towards high gravity stuff, like higher ABV beers, and I tend to like the more flavors and like high ABV stuff. I really enjoyed this. I'm gonna give it a 9.
I'll give this beer a high mark, and they're both good beers. They come at you from different directions. They're in the same style, but they do different things for me. I do like this one better, and I would give it an 8 or 9.
I usually lean towards the higher alcohol percentage, like you said, and more of the flavors. But for some reason, I really, really, really enjoyed the first one better. If I gave that one a rating, it would probably be an 8.5. This one, maybe a 7.5.
This beer is kind of like having to review a country album. It's not that the album is bad, it's just that I don't like country.
It's just country.
You know? So, I mean, I think that the beer is well done. So, I mean, as far as the beer itself, I would, you know, probably give it a 7.5 or an 8. But for my personal preference, I'd say it's more like a 5.
What she said.
Thanks, Ryan.
I couldn't say it any better.
Yeah, and actually, I'm actually going to echo what Mike said, and like, you know, I think that this, you know, you can't to try and put. It's interesting to have these two beers up one after the other because they are so different, even though they are in the same style. I really like this one, like you, Luke. I like the heavier, like the less sessionable beers. I'm okay with having one or two and being done, and that's it. I would probably give this one an 8.
All right, well, there you have it. You know, for better or for worse, we put the two porters kind of next to each other, which obviously invited, you know, some comparison, some competition. But I think that the thing to take away from it is that, you know, again, not better, not worse, just different. It's a different take on the porter. One went more towards a stout, a bit of a rounder, deeper flavor, thicker, higher ABV, less sessionable, while the other one, not to say it kept more true to the style, since obviously the style is something that we, you know, talked about as being, like, somewhat debatable, but, you know, it's lower alcohol, more sessionable, a little bit of a lighter flavor to it, more roasty, less heavy. So there you have it. You have the Trillium Pot and Kettle Oatmeal Porter. All right, so
let's
next up, we have a cannoli beer from Shebeen Brewing. Now, we have featured Shebeen on our last podcast, their Turbo IPA. We have a video interview with them that's hopefully coming out pretty soon.
No. Very soon.
It is coming out very soon. So they have a cannoli beer, which is what drew me to them in the first place. Billed as the ultimate dessert beer made with vanilla, cinnamon, nutmeg, special grains, best served with powdered sugar and shaved chocolate, which is, of course, what we did. Because at News Over Brews, we go all out, and we also listen to people who know way more about beer than we do. So, everyone now has their special glass, which has been coated, rimmed in powdered sugar, and sprinkled with dark chocolate. All right. You guys talk, because I've had this beer before, so you guys talk.
There's... I'm getting a lot of spices. I'm not even sure which ones they are, but that's the immediate thing I get. I mean, obviously the sugar is around the rim of the glass, but I get a lot of spices, and I want to say I taste nutmeg. I don't know. That's mm-hmm. what I'm getting right now.
Mike?
Yeah, we definitely have. There's spices everywhere in this beer. There's a cannoli experience going on. It's definitely there. I don't know if it's a cannoli beer or not, but it's the closest thing I've ever had to a cannoli beer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
Yeah. Well, I'm struggling with this beer because I'm an Italian, and I just never thought a cannoli would have to become liquid. But given that, clove is definitely on my palate.
Mm-hmm.
For
yes.
Sure. Especially when you kind of get the sugar off the rim and just kind of drink it as it is. Yeah, I can't say that it tastes like a cannoli, to be quite honest with you, just knowing the flavor of cannoli. I don't know if they were just having fun with it or, you know, what. But I could see this as a dessert beer. It's really delicious.
Yeah, definitely dessert
beer.
I
just think it would be, and even like a small glass paired with a dessert or something, like one would do a port.
Okay.
I think that this would, because it is so flavorful, there's so many spices. But unlike like the oatmeal that lingered, that was unpleasing. But this actually lingers in a much, much better way. So thank you. I didn't think I had so much to say about beer. So thank you for being on the show today.
I think the sugar is really what makes it. Honestly, like that the sugar around the rim obviously gives you that initial taste for the cannoli flavor, but it also gives that lingering taste as well because you're still getting that sugar on your on the tongue. And, yeah, I'm just going to keep agreeing with Camille the whole night, apparently. except for, I actually do think this is the closest we were ever going to get to a cannoli beer. And this is definitely, like, a conversation starter for, like, a party. Like, be like, hey, do you ever have a cannoli in liquid form? They're like, what are you talking about? I got just the thing. So, yeah, I mean, I absolutely do really enjoy it.
Yeah. You know, a cannoli in liquid form sounds like a dream, right? Like, that is the greatest thing I could ever think of.
Yeah.
Like, just cannolis that you can pretty much inhale? Sweet. I am not really, like, I don't know, maybe it's just me, I'm not really getting, like, I'm thinking of cannolis from, like, Ferraras and stuff, like, the, like, when I think cannoli, I think, like, you know, the flaky, the creaminess of it, and I'm not really getting it in this case, and I still, I keep trying to, you know, take get a taste of it, but, like, maybe it's just me, but I'm not really hitting it right now.
And, you know, I would just like to say that I think if they had achieved a more creamy...
Yes.
They would have been much closer to using the name cannoli. And maybe that's what...
I think, yeah, that's
like
what's
a,
throwing
like a,
me off,
like
is
a Scottish
the name,
ale
I think.
Or something, just something that's more creamy.
Yeah.
Well, it is made with lactose sugars.
Okay.
So he did use lactose in the beer, which is often used to lend a creamier mouthfeel, as much as Mike and I have said that we hate using the word mouthfeel. It is a pretty apt descriptor of what we're trying to get across.
It's all you got.
Yeah, it's all you got. So he said he used lactose sugar to try to create a bit of a creamier mouthfeel. As far as myself, I mean, it was the reason I went there. And I loved all their other beers, and all Chabin's beers are great that I had there. But this beer, like, I think I'm kind of going to cherry pick from what everyone else has said. It would be great as a dessert, served alongside, you know, some kind of other spiced dessert option. Like Camille said, much like a port. But I think it's pretty close to a cannoli, to be honest. You know, it's got all that stuff going on. Like, it doesn't have the one thing I would say it doesn't have the richness.
Yes.
I think that it's missing. But I think that's tough to achieve in
you
a beer.
You can't achieve that in a beer.
Yeah, I was going to say, Mike, you're the brewer
no matter
here.
How much lactose you use, you're not going to have a cannoli's richness in a beer. There's no chance.
Yeah.
It can't happen.
Well, what about if you use, like, virtually no hops? Or you, like or would that just, like, only increase the alcohol and just make it really boozy? I don't know.
Yeah, see, I think, like I said before, I just think that it's a good beer. Don't get me wrong. I like it. But I think just the using the word cannoli in the name evokes a certain type of taste that I don't think you can accurately get in a beer. Would I drink it again? Yeah. but, you know, that's not saying a whole lot. But, no, I you know, I think this is the type of beer, again, that needs to be paired with something else. You know, you mentioned a spiced dessert, something like pumpkin pie would probably work really well with this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just...
Tiramisu.
Yeah, tiramisu.
Oh, yeah,
oh,
tiramisu.
I was thinking about this the entire time. I'm like, I really can go for some tiramisu right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I can see that. Absolutely.
Can we make a tiramisu here?
Yeah.
You'll have to talk to Mike about that.
I haven't tried anything in that area yet. I'd like to see how this recipe would play in a darker, in a brown or a stout, and see where that
Ooh,
took
a stout.
You.
Yeah,
a stout with maybe not the roast, maybe just a dark beer. That's why I'm going with brown. Maybe without the roasted barley, maybe just a bigger bodied, darker, sweeter beer. Where would this thing take you?
Mm-hmm.
It could be a little more interesting than it actually is.
Yeah, you know, I was able to have a pretty long talk with the guy who's you know doing all the brewing and stuff, and he seems like not only is he really passionate about brewing, but he's also passionate about like just trying new stuff.
Like
you
what
know,
made him think amber with this?
Exactly, and like well, it maybe what made him think amber is they actually have a brewery cat that catches the mice.
So the cat
and the cat is named Amber, actually. So maybe they have amber on the brain, kind of a thing. But he seems like really interested in just, you know, he told me the story behind it was like, again, he was at a party and somebody said, you know, something about cannolis. And he said, we should try to make a cannoli beer. And they just kind of ran with it, you know. And the cool thing is, you know, I mean, think about Mike, if you had your own brewery and you had a team of people working to brew beer with you, if you had crazy ideas, you might as well run with it.
You might as well.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I really like it. I think it's really, really good as, you know, a dessert beer, like its build.
Yeah.
You know, I'd
they
give it...
They hit the marks they were trying to hit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'd give it probably like an 8. Definitely.
The alcohol content.
5.2.
I guess it was in the 5.2. Low fives, right?
Yeah, mid-fives. I mean, I'm a huge fan of it. I really, really like it. You know. But that's just me.
Is it heaven in a glass, like they say?
I think it's pretty close. You know? I mean, what do you guys think?
I'll definitely agree with heaven in a glass. Probably around an 8.
Yeah, my marks are probably going to be a little bit lower just because it's a little bit weird for me, but it's good. And it is, it's something different.
Yeah.
So you did something different, and good for you. I'm probably going to go with like maybe a 6 on it, but I do like it.
I like it, but I just, for me, like, I think it would be really an achievement to be able to try to do it without having to add extra things to try to get that. I mean, it's a cool thing to be able to pair the powdered sugar and the chocolate with the beer they have already, but it would be cool to see, to try to achieve it on its own and see where you can go with that. And I agree with Mike. I think having a brown or instead of what they use would be a better base. So I'd probably go with a 7.
Yeah. We're going to give it a 7 too. And I think that I would drink it without the sugar and the chocolate next time as well, because it really has a lot of spices to it. It's
a very good beer on its
own.
And
the thing about the sugar is that the sugar is so dominating that, you know, it takes a while for the palate to actually discern the other flavors. So I think without that in it, it would be easier. Is it gone? Is it over? Is the cannoli been eaten?
Yeah, sorry. we can drive 4 hours if we want to get some more tomorrow.
Yeah, I think personally, I can see where this beer fits, right? Like, it's an end of, you know, the evening. You've already had dinner. You know, you're having dessert. This sort of thing. I did not get to try it without the sugar and the cocoa, and I think I probably would have liked to see how that was if it does stand alone.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the idea of like making it. This is an occasion beer, right? Like, you're trying to. You have to, you know, put the sugar on the rim of the glass, and you have to do the chocolate.
There's some showmanship
thing
involved.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
This is like, you have people over, and you want to.
It's Christmas.
Yeah, you want to, like, oh, this is a special occasion, so let's do this.
And you're never going there with a beer.
Yeah.
You're pouring a beer, and that's it.
Yeah.
It's over. So this.
Yeah.
It adds a.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. A gimmick to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would probably give this, like, I don't know if you're doing, like, 0.5s or anything,
yeah,
but I'm
yeah,
going, like, okay,
well,
cool. I'd give it, like, a 6.5 to a 7, probably around there, but, like, leaning more towards the lower end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it seems like we're somewhat split, not majorly split, but somewhat split on the cannoli beer. You know, some people seem to want to try it without, you know, the powdered sugar and the chocolate, and you know, I have tried it without the powdered sugar and chocolate. It's very, very good on its own. Like, you guys have all sort of suspected and have kind of said that, you know, it's a great spiced beer by itself, you know? But the powdered sugar and chocolate for me add an extra little layer, and I think next time when I go back, maybe I'll bring 2 growlers of it back. So you can try one without and one with, or that you've already tried it with, I'll just bring one back and we can try it without.
Oh, no, don't do that.
Oh, no, please don't bring back more beer. But yeah, so we're kind of split. It seems like taking a drunk average of everybody else is what they've said. Probably hovering around a 7.5, 7.
Well, you forgot Ryan. He just vanished.
Yeah, Ryan has
but
vanished, but that's okay.
We can just guess what he was probably going to give it like a 7, 7.5.
Ryan loves cannolis.
Ryan does love cannolis. So, yeah, if you can factor that in.
But yeah, so I mean, taking a crazy concept like cannolis, I mean, can we all, I mean, it's pretty well executed.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's a little different. It's interesting, though.
It goes up there with the creme brulee stout. That
was yeah, that kind of stuff. So that was Shabeen Brewing's cannoli beer. Shabeen is located in Walcott, Connecticut, 1 Walcott Road. I only remember that because it's very easy to remember. and it's a beautiful brewery.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful.
Look out for our tour, which is going to be posted
yeah,
very,
also,
very soon.
Look out for our tour, my tour.
Lucas, look out for Lucas's tour that Al is editing very soon.
So that's Shabeen Brewing's cannoli beer. All right, so next up. Oh, that's the wrong way.
Final beer. Right?
We've got, we might have one more.
Ooh.
Yeah, bonus
exciting
feature.
Exciting.
Bonus disc. From Foolproof Brewing Company, King of the Yad. And I'm not just being facetious when I pronounce that. That's literally how the beer is spelled. Y-A-H-D, Yad.
Yad.
It's an Imperial India Pale Ale. So an Imperial IPA, alcohol 9.5%.
Sorry, I just inhaled it through my nose.
So clearly we're trying to smell this beer as best we can because Dave just inhaled it. He tried to snort it. So, Dave, why don't you let us know what you've what you've found by snorting this beer?
Well, after I got out of my nose, I don't know. At first I didn't smell the citra, but the more like the citra tends to impart more. Well, obviously citrus.
Mm-hmm.
It has like an orangey type of smell to it. Honestly, I wish I could pull out more flavors right now, but I can't. But right now, that's what I'm getting. I mean, the citra isn't like the citrusy. It doesn't. What is it? It doesn't. It's more of like in the back. I don't really get so much citra up front, but it's kind of in the back. But I can't really pull out what's in the front right now. So.
You know, I completely agree. The citra, I'm getting citra in the back. I'm getting a little citra on the nose.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you know what's amazing is that the, you know, 9.5% alcohol Imperial IPA, it's very, very smooth.
Yeah.
I really like that. It's not harsh. It's not super bitter.
And it's not really boozy either. Like ones that, what is it, like 9.5%?
Mm-hmm.
Usually you get like this overwhelming heat, but you get a nice balance of the all the hops that are in there in the malt, and it doesn't really give a just a big heat in your face kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Really hoppy.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very, very hoppy, right on the tongue. But not, you know, not a terrible aftertaste. You know, I can definitely have a couple of these. This isn't like one and done for me, honestly. And I don't know, it's really enjoyable, honestly. I want to stop talking and drinking more.
No, I think that like what comes to preference is some people enjoy more bitter beers. It's good. I think that for me personally, I tend to like a more drier finish on a double IPA, something that doesn't really have a lingering bitterness. So this kind of goes into the lingering bitterness category of beers that I'm not a huge fan of. I like to taste the hops and a little bit of bitterness to cut the sweetness, but then I like it to stop and not stay on my tongue
for
so long.
That's what I'm getting right now too, and it's like I enjoy it, don't get me wrong, but that it's that lingeringness that like makes me kind of like take my time in between sips. Like this isn't something you can drink quickly. You know, you're going to savor it and go, you know, kind of at a leisurely pace with this.
Mm-hmm. What to say about it?
We pretty much said everything.
Yeah, you guys have really covered it. It's a very aggressively hop beer. It's hoppy in the nose. It's hoppy on the taste. It's hoppy in the aftertaste. It's done very well. It's a nice beer, and I do like it. But maybe a little bit of restraint could have been used in some of those upfront hops.
Mm-hmm.
On the nose or the tongue?
On
I mean,
tongue.
Up front, on tongue?
On the tongue, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think the actual the hops on the nose don't warn you to the actual taste.
No, they're very mild.
Yeah, it's mild, and you're like, then you kind of get attacked.
Mm-hmm.
Actually taste it,
and it is very bitter up front.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I get what you're saying. You know, on the back of the bottle it says 11 individual hop additions. So I'm wondering if maybe some of those could have been shifted away from.
There's a lot of hops that you don't want to use late in your boil,
mm-hmm.
and with Columbus maybe one of them. I don't know the recipe for this beer. Columbus is in there. And I think Columbus is a hop best used early in your boil because it kind of neutrally bitters your beer. And later, more of a punch in the face. And maybe that's what we're dealing with. Without knowing the recipe.
Mm-hmm.
Getting the technical side of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, personally, I you know, if you're a regular listener to the podcast, you know I hate when a beer is cloying. And, like, you get all you can taste is either hop or malt, and it just stays and you have to
like a
clear
one note beer.
Yeah. And this isn't that.
No.
Like it's bordering on that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like it's like pushing that boundary. It's like attacking that line kind of a thing where it's like super, super bitter, but then it backs off. I think, you know, personally, I'm kind of getting some of the Citra, and I'm getting a nice balanced hop. You know, it's not like so bitter that I can't drink it. You know, I think it's very good. I really like it. You know, it's definitely not something I could drink more than one of, I think. It's not something that I can session. Just because it's such a bold hop character, and it's so much in your face with just the bitterness right up front. You know, that bitterness up front really sort of makes it a one beer.
And nothing follows that bitterness except some more bitterness.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Yes.
And that's maybe not a problem, but it might be the one thing keeping this from being a great beer to me, is that it's just, we're saying it's not a one-note beer, but it's pretty close.
Yeah.
To this, and then the same, and then the same.
Mm-hmm.
I do like it.
Because you'd kind of like the bitterness to be followed by kind of a, like a balanced malt profile.
Something a little rounder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You taste it, and you taste it a little bit, but I mean, it's, you just, when you taste it, you're like, where is it? Where is it at? You know, is it going to, you're going to get more of that like breadiness from the malt, and you get some, but it's not as much as I would like to round it out.
All right, so again, you know, we kind of have a split decision. Nothing really set in stone here for Foolproof's King of the Yacht IPA. As we're now very deep in this edition of News Over Brews, my willingness to produce a fake Boston accent is becoming more and more pronounced, apparently. So I'll go ahead and say that, you know, it's, as far as IPAs go, I think it's very, very good, and I like the attempt that they've made to produce like a really, really big Imperial. Like, you know, well, an Imperial, a really big IPA.
And keep that word in mind when you're drinking it, that it's a double IPA. It's big. It's meant to be big.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be big, all hop big. And it's missing a bit of balance, this beer. Mm-hmm.
I could use a little more malt, personally.
Yeah, yes.
You know, I mean, and some of that maybe because, you know, like we've talked about, you know, we just recently discussed the Seaside on Tap Beer Festival and how I was kind of IPA'd out. That IPA is a very popular style in America right now, and it just, you know, it's like having too much hot sauce all at once. It burns out your taste buds. You can't really taste anything else, and it's tough. But, I mean, as far as an Imperial IPA goes, I really like this. You know, if you know what you're getting into with the style, you're going to completely like this beer. If you don't like bitter beers, don't drink this one. Definitely don't drink it.
That's an understatement.
Stay away.
Andrew, what'd you think?
I like it. I don't think it's something that I would regularly drink, but, maybe on the, you know, occasion that, you know, it comes up, I would, you know, I'd enjoy it. It's not typically my type of beer, and that bitterness might be a little too much for me, I think. I would give it probably, and I'm going to be like the guy who's like the low reviewer this podcast. I think I would give it around like a 6.5, I would say.
Al?
I guess we're going in reverse order. Yeah, I'd give the name a solid 8.5.
Absolutely.
The name is awesome. The beer itself, I think it just... it was a little, not too hoppy, because, I mean, come on, how pretentious is that? It's a little too hoppy. No, I just think, I'm going to agree with everyone else, when there was just something missing to push it over the edge to make it a really, really good beer. Probably around a 6, it was just the average for me.
If I'm going to put this beer up against other, say, high-quality double IPAs, it's getting a 5 or 6. Just, I think they could have done a little bit better with this one. It's a good beer. It's not a great beer. And if you're doing an Imperial IPA, I'm not sure.
Well, I think, yeah, like everyone said, I think it needed more of that malt sweetness to balance the hops out. I've had a lot of double IPAs. I would say, I don't know, I'd give it probably 6.5. I mean, it was okay. If someone offered it to me, I would take it, but I don't think I'd seek it out.
All right, well, there you have it. You have Foolproof Brewing Company's King of the Yacht IPA. Not a bad beer, but definitely, you know, some improvements that we think could have been made. As far as the balanced malts and, you know, maybe kind of including a little more sweetness. Maybe it's just because we're all IPA'd out here on the Jersey Shore, but, you know, that's the final verdict on that one. Well, that's it. That's our Boston beer roundup. Obviously, you know, Foolproof Brewing Company being from Rhode Island, but, you know, that general region.
Close enough.
So that was our little roundup there. I hope you enjoyed it. We had a nice little sampling, a couple of porters, a spiced cannoli beer, and an IPA to kind of make sure we rounded everything out. I'm Lucas Jones, of course, one of the co-hosts of News Over Brews, the podcast that this currently is.
Wait, that's what we've been doing this whole time?
Oh. I know.
You didn't tell them?
No, I didn't tell them.
Shit, I thought we were just drinking and talking about beer.
No,
I don't know if we could curse.
Secretly recording you the entire time. My name's Lucas, and I'm, of course, joined by everyone here. Thank you guys so much for coming out and drinking this beer. I hope it wasn't too difficult for you.
No, but we had a good time.
Good. I'm glad. So hopefully we'll do this again. We'll, you know, maybe try to feature either one brewery and try to grab all of their different varieties, or feature one section or one state. Thankfully, because of advancements in technology and some sort of development thing, we're able to get beer from a whole bunch of different parts of the country. So, you know, we'll
maybe
see.
Maybe we
can
make this like a quarterly segment, like every like 4 months or something.
Every 4 months we drink free beer?
No.
No, I'm saying...
Now every 4 months, you guys drink free beer. We can't do that.
No, I'm saying I think every 4 months we should do like a round table like this. I mean, we do the weekly podcast. Mm-hmm. Now we're starting to do the tours. We got other stuff kind of going. We got to make a schedule of sorts.
We have a lot of content.
We really do.
Where can people find that content?
Oh, good question. You can find it on our SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/newsoverbrews. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And we are also mostly hosted on PopRake.com. And thank you, PopRake, for hosting us. And
we love you so much.
We love you so much. So that's where you can find us. Good question.
All right, thank you.
So we'll go around one more time and just give you guys a rundown of who is here.
Andrew Martins, editor-in-chief of Pixelitis.
Al Manarino, music editor of PopRake.com and host of News Over Brews.
Mike Donnelly, home brewer and beer fan. New England Things fan, and happy to be here.
I'm David Eicher, and I'm a huge Imperial Stout fan.
And we'd also like to give a shout-out to Camille, who has since gone to sleep.
I think Ryan was here, too.
Ryan was also here.
He probably also went to sleep.
He has gone to sleep. And also a big shout-out to the two in the back who have not contributed to this podcast because they... either don't enjoy beer or because they enjoy sitting in the back. Celeste and Kat. So that was everybody that was a part of this. We hope you guys enjoyed it as much as we did. I'd love to say if you're interested in being on the round table, let us know. But, you know.
I don't think it would work. If you're interested, you can fly yourself here from wherever you are, buy us beer, and become friends with us so it's not weird.
Yeah, well, you gotta hang out with us first.
Bring Burger King.
Yeah.
Or any sort of food would be great. And at this point, thanks for listening.
Yeah, so yeah, this was News Over Brews. First and hopefully not last. Round/square table discussion. I'm Lucas Jones, apparently your de facto host for some reason. So have a good night/morning/afternoon whenever you've been listening to us.